Hey guys, it's Sherry. Thank you so much for downloading the fifth Louder Than Bombs podcast. And also, thank you so much for the great response that we've been getting to the first four. It's been a great couple of weeks, and it means a lot. So, thank you. It's been weird here in New York. The weather's unpredictable, but I've started rocking the white jeans, so it's officially summer. And also, I found out that my dog has gone deaf, and that's quite upsetting. But, you know, he's 16 years old, and I'm just glad I figured it out. He wasn't being very responsive, and I thought that he was kind of losing his mind. And it turns out that the poor little devil just couldn't hear me. So he was just doing his own thing. And, you know, I feel so guilty because I guess I haven't been mentally stimulating him for a few months. That's pretty bad. But once I figured out that he was deaf, I started sort of adjusting my behavior to him. Like, I show him his leash before we go out, and when I come home, I go up to him and like pet him, you know, to show him that I'm there instead of expecting him to rush to the door. And he's responded just so great to that. And I'm just so relieved because I don't want him living in a prison that is his mind. That's like a nightmare. Anyway, he's doing great. We're doing great. And we're taking it day by day. We're enjoying every single summer day together, taking long walks. Okay. Now that you know the drama of me and my dog, let's switch gears and talk about this week's guest, Morgan Evans. He's such a wonderful, funny, talented guy. And all this great stuff is happening to him, and it's so well-deserved. And again, I just love it when great things happen to nice people, and he's such a great example of that. Morgan is a writer on VH1's Best Week Ever, and in addition to that, he's a contributor to The Onion, The Huffington Post, Funny or Die. He's doing a web series for Above Average, the Above Average Network, and if you guys don't subscribe to that, what are you doing wrong? It comes out of Broadway Video, which is the same company that puts out Saturday Night Live. So all these cool people are involved making great web series. And Morgan's doing one right now with Taron Killam and Jason Sudeikis of Saturday Night Live. So check that out. In addition to that, Morgan wrote and starred in one of my favorite web series of all time called The Untitled Web Series that Morgan Evans is doing. And that's on YouTube, and everyone should watch that. It has a great soundtrack, too, and we talk about that in this podcast. Yeah. So, oh, and he mentioned that he's also developing something for MTV Digital. Let's just say that Morgan Evans is unstoppable. That should be the name of his next web series. Morgan Evans is unstoppable. And, oh, also, before we dive right in, I just want to say that this week's episode is dedicated to my dad, Henry Parnes, of Miami, Florida, because he was a huge Beatles fan, and he instilled a deep love of the Beatles in me. And for that, I will always be grateful. So, happy Father's Day, Dad. I love you. And now, let's listen in on a conversation I had with Morgan a few days ago, where we talk about the Beatles and a lot of other bands, and comedy. Enjoy. Thank you for coming to my home, Morgan.
Thank you for having me in your home. It's a great home. Love it.
Thank you. We live in the same neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah. I'm on 30th Avenue, and you're on... Should we give that away?
No. In fact, I should take out what avenue you're on.
That's okay. They can know that. It's a long avenue.
I actually, just a few months ago, I tend to do these, like, power walks late at night.
Yeah.
And I was walking, and I looked like a scrub. I looked awful. Uh-huh. I saw you standing at, like, a Mexican food truck. And I was like, I want to stop and say hello. But I was like, I don't think anyone I know should, like, see me looking like this.
Well, also, I haven't been to a Mexican food truck here in years.
Oh, shit.
So it was probably just another glasses-toting gentleman Because people think they see me all the time because I look like every other white guy in the city.
Oh, my God. Well,
it's just scruff and glasses and dark hair.
Now I'm relieved that I didn't go up to you. I mean, I walked by really fast.
Sure.
But I'm glad I didn't stop.
Yeah, yeah. No, that probably wasn't me.
Well, anyway, the first question that I always like to ask everyone is comedy and music. What is the connection that you see, if any?
I guess performance is a big part of it, to express stuff. To me, like, comedy feels like a compulsion, and music might to some people. Like, I got into comedy through music. Like, I did joke bands in high school. and then that became, like, stand-up. Like, eventually, like, I just dropped the music.
Really?
So I don't know what the connection is. Just, like, wanting to be on stage and, like, perform in front of people.
Okay, so you started off in joke bands, though.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever want to do serious music, or was that sort of a default?
Yeah, I think I wanted to, and I didn't know how to play anything. Like, I had a laptop band where I would just sample stuff on stage, and then, like, those would be jokey, like, beat songs, or I would play, like, the character of, like, a shitty DJ, and then, like, open for group. This is all in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Who has a great music scene, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's, like, a weird, noisy place. Like, you could go and people would be, like, banging on a printer and everyone would be watching it.
Oh, wow.
So it's stuff like that.
That sounds either really cool or just so pretentious that I might vomit.
I think it totally lacks pretension at all because it's all just supposed to be kind of funny and ironic and self-aware and, like...
Okay.
Just fun, you know? Like, there's a band where I grew up called Locking Your Car Doors, and what they would do is they would just blast Andrew W.K. music, and not covers of it, just like the CD, and then just wreck things. And to me, that's like the least pretentious thing I can think of. just a bunch of kids just smashing shit set to Andrew W.K. music.
That is actually kind of nifty.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're from Arizona.
Mm.
And, I mean, you and I have never talked about this, but I've kind of heard a little bit about how you just sort of just came here. Like, you just decided, this is it, I'm coming to New York to pursue comedy? Is that...
Mm-hmm. I graduated high school, and then I was, like, a big SNL fan and stuff, so I just sort of kind of looked into who was, like, getting on the show and, like, where they had come from.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sort of a thing of, like, well, I could do Groundlings, Second City, or UCB. And then, like, what schools are near there? Because I was going to have to live off student loans.
Ah.
So it was sort of about, like, do I go to L.A., Chicago, or New York? And then I applied everywhere, and I got into a couple schools in New York, and, like, none in California. And then, like, one in Chicago, but it was, like, a bad school. So I was like, all right, New York. And then that way I wouldn't have to have a car.
Uh-huh.
So I got here, and the week I got here, I took a UCB 101 and then did the whole program in, like, a year.
Wow.
And then that's just kind of how that happened.
So you were just determined from the start. You knew what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it's been like, I mean, it's just been like one great thing after another for you.
It's been weird, yeah. Because I've been here, I guess, 5 years now. And I don't know. I mean, I dropped out of college to like write for a show. And like that, I didn't think would happen, you know. Because like I always, you know, I really wanted kind of Donald Glover's career path or something, where it's like, oh, you drop out of NYU and write for 30 Rock. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's insane that that happens. So that was always, like, my standard, you know? And then it kind of just, I don't know, it happened.
It's so funny that you mentioned Donald Glover, because I always feel like those kind of stories are either inspirational things or like a death pit for people, because they're going to think that, like, that sort of thing could just happen to anyone.
Sure, yeah.
And it does require, you know, a special amount of talent. I mean, the guy just, like, cut him and he bleeds talent.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, like, the real killer is when you hear things like, you know, Orson Welles was 24 when he made Citizen Kane, and then try to, like, hold that to your...
Yeah.
Like, that to be your goal.
Right.
It's ridiculous, you know? Like, yeah, Donald Glover, I was like, oh, that's great. Like, I want to do that. And then, like, miraculously it happened.
It's amazing. One thing that I think a lot of people may not know about you is that you're a really talented filmmaker also.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, your stuff has, like, real pizzazz.
Thanks.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about your untitled web series. Mm-hmm. Which,
sure, yeah.
I mean, that put you on the map in a lot of ways, didn't it?
Yeah, like, up until then, I didn't, like, have agents or anything, you know?
Everyone we know is doing a web series, mm-hmm. and there's, I mean, you know, everyone's like, oh, two doormen, and they're idiots, or, uh-huh, like, sure. you know, or whatever.
I like that one, though.
Yeah. I could pitch you a bunch of ideas.
Sure, yeah.
But what I loved about yours was that there was, like, this grounded element to it, and then this really crazy kind of surreal mm-hmm. piece on top of it.
Sure.
You know, and one thing I really wanted to ask you about, I feel like music was a huge kind of, like,
yeah.
motivator in that, right?
Most, like, people I talk to are just like, oh, I love the music.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, okay, great. I didn't write any of the songs. but, like, thank you for liking the music. Yeah, but, like, the playlist with all the songs on it on YouTube has, like, more views than the series. Yeah, but that's, like, great. You know, I'm happy that people dig it. It's just a lot of Motown and stuff.
And some... Is there some Francois Hardy?
There's Francois Hardy and, like, France Gall, not a French show.
Yeah,
stuff, yeah.
Which I know is, we're going to talk about this.
Sure,
it's one of your guilty pleasures.
Uh-huh.
I don't actually see that as a guilty pleasure. I see that as, like...
I'm not embarrassed by
totally
it.
Totally
yeah.
cool.
Sure.
You know, like, there are much worse guilty pleasures out there.
Totally, yeah.
But, like, when you were writing your web series, I know for myself, sometimes when I write sketches, mm-hmm. I, like, a song or... a band or something will
yeah.
sort of, like, inspire, even if it's not directly related to it, just kind of,
sure.
like, the attitude of it might color something I write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that part of your process?
Yeah, well, it's, like, the three main influences for it were, like, Albert Brooks movies, and I don't feel like he uses music, really, you know?
No.
And Woody Allen, who definitely does. He
oh,
uses
yeah.
a lot of jazz. And then Murphy Brown. The show, which is a lot of Motown, and that's, like, how I got into Motown. Like, the best concert I ever saw in my entire life was Aretha Franklin, and I wouldn't have gone had I not gotten, like, super into Murphy Brown.
Oh my god, Murphy Brown is a conduit to understanding Motown.
Yeah, that's her favorite genre of music, like,
yeah.
she's singing it all the time, it's all over the shows, it's why the shows aren't on DVD, they can't get the rights to those songs to make the DVDs.
Oh my god.
So yeah, there's, like, a whole episode in that show where, like, I come home and I dance to Think by Aretha Franklin and almost get murdered, and that's, like, straight out of Murphy Brown, although in that show she, like, doesn't almost get murdered, it's her painter, but she's dancing to, like, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, I think, and reading her mail and kicking up her feet and then, like, dancing around, and her painter, the guy who paints the house, Eldon, is, like, standing behind her, and there's this great reveal, and then I just completely stole that.
Oh my god. That's my favorite episode.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh my god, that was just so great because the reveal was so unexpected.
Yeah, I tried to just take, like, what Murphy Brown did and make it, like, a horror comedy. Yeah.
It worked.
Thank you.
I also definitely saw the Woody Allen influence, especially
yeah.
there was one particular episode
with Alana
Glazer, where
yeah.
you're walking around and you're sort of, like, on a date talking,
mm-hmm.
and you're just spewing out these great little one-liners.
Yeah, they're supposed to be, like, Woody Allen type one-liners, and then we, like, ended the episode from the last shot from Annie Hall. Like,
uh-huh.
that's the same street.
Where she walks away.
Yeah, like, from PJ Clark's on, like, 63rd or something. Like, that's where it ends.
What a great homage.
Yeah, I think now it's, like, a point, though, where it's sort of like, oh, okay, so now I gotta stop referencing things if people want to take me, like, as a serious filmmaker and not, like, somebody who, like, rips people off.
Oh.
But I really enjoy doing that, like, because it's fun to kind of retrace those footsteps, you know?
I think that if you do it intelligently, there's
sure.
nothing wrong with it.
Sure.
Everything can be reverential. I mean, look at,
yeah.
like, Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, that's a good example.
His entire career has
yeah.
been based on, like, little homages to the things that have influenced him.
Sure, yeah.
You know? And yet, he gives it a spin, right?
Yeah.
Keep
He's
doing
got
it.
Great music.
He's got, I mean,
yeah.
like, yeah, he, every single soundtrack he puts out, like, you can just bank on.
Here's a question, because I was talking to my friend about this the other day. Like, you know, for the Django soundtrack, he ripped it all from his own personal vinyl collection.
Ah.
So, like, when you buy the CD, it's you can hear, like, the needle drop, and it's, like, from his records.
Nice.
Do you think that's lame?
It's a little... You know, this is the thing. There was a time in my life where I would have been like, that's fucking brilliant.
Uh-huh.
You know, like...
Yeah. Me too.
You know?
Yeah.
I've just gotten to this point where things that seem overtly gimmicky in some way,
right,
it's like a bit of a turnoff to me.
Yes, I completely agree. Because he was like, oh, you know, I want people to hear him like how I heard him. And it's like, fuck you. Like, you're great, but like, what the, that doesn't matter. Like, and that's also, A, not how you heard them. It's like on a CD that I got at Best Buy. just give me the MP3. Like, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk a little bit about Best Week Ever.
Sure.
Because I've loved that show for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, that's a guilty pleasure in a way.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. No one's really proud that they like it.
It's fun, though.
Yeah, it's a fun show, yeah.
Tell me, like, you have to immerse yourself in probably a lot of stuff that you wouldn't normally, or am I wrong?
No, yeah, that's completely right. yeah, like, all the Real Housewives shows. I watch a lot of reality TV I never thought I'd watch. A lot of shows no one really watches, you know, like Animal Planet reality shows, like which don't have anything to do with animals, just like people who live in a swamp called like Swamped. And you're like, when does this even air? It's like a Tuesday at 9 a.m. or something.
Oh,
and you're watching these crazy, crazy, crazy shows.
Do they assign you to them? Or are they like, all right, you're on Animal Planet duty this week?
Yeah, it's like divvied up again, like throughout the crew. Like, you know, they just sort of, some people take things. And then, you know, some people want to watch Revenge, and some people want to watch Captain Tarzan, or whatever it's called, or Urban Tarzan.
Are there any shows that, like, you're surprised that you actually, like, think they're pretty good, but you never would have watched them otherwise?
Yeah, Gypsy Sisters. Like, that is a weird-ass show about this girl. I mean, it's really about this girl, Melly, who, you know, is having a baby. Mm-hmm. And she was a stripper and an alcoholic and does a lot of drugs and drinks a lot. And it's like her whole family and the extended family, because they all know each other. And she's just a mess. And it's sort of this weird meta thing where, like, she fucks with the guys behind the camera and the producers and, like, takes someone's cell phone and throws it at the executive producer. And then they're in the show and their faces are blurred out. And there's a lot of, most of those shows are fake, you mm-hmm. know, they're all scripted, they're all written and planned out and, like, rigidly scheduled.
Yeah.
But there's some moments from them that, like, can't be fake. And that's when it's interesting to me, because it's like they're trying really hard to push a plot a certain way, and then something even better happens. Yeah.
You know, here's an aside for you. My real name is Sherelle.
Oh, cool.
I'm the only Sherelle you'll ever meet in your entire life.
So why do you go by
Sherry?
Do you not like it?
I've grown to like it. I hated it growing up.
Right, because it was different.
Because it was different.
Right.
And, you know, like, I'm different enough. I don't need a Sherelle on top of that.
Yeah. Right.
But the other thing is that nobody pronounces it properly. I don't understand why.
Right.
But, like, even to this day, like, if someone calls me...
Chiral.
That would actually even be better.
Cheryl.
Shirley,
right.
People call me Shirley.
With, like, a double L.
Yeah. They're like, I don't even know what they're reading, because Sherelle and Shirley, I mean, they just don't even...
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and so I finally gave up, because Shirley is, like, the ugliest name.
Shirley?
Yeah.
It's not as bad as, like, Maud.
Maud and Shirley.
Right.
Those are our grandmothers.
Dolores. Yeah.
You know, have you ever
met
Eunice?
Eunice is one of the worst names I can think of.
Eunice is bad.
Eunice is really bad.
Yeah, all right.
I just say that because I've never met a Eunice.
Have you ever met a Shirley?
No.
No?
Not really. I don't think so.
It's terrible. I mean, my parents are cruel. My parents are cruel individuals. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, I like the name Morgan. That's a cool name.
I like Morgan. Morgan was always hard growing up, though, because it's kind of androgynous. You don't get in a fight and, like, be like, you know, what's your name? You know, I don't know why they'd be asking your name in a fight. See, I've never been in a fight. Like, I have no idea how it would go. But I just imagine, like, you would win it based on what your name is. And I would have to be, like, Morgan. And they would be like, I'm Kyle. You know, something hard and masculine.
Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle.
Dirk.
Dirk.
Yeah.
It's the CK sound.
Exactly. Yeah.
The K. But Morgan... Morgan is someone that you want to build your life with.
Not most people I've met so far. Yeah.
Morgan is a trustworthy person.
Hopefully, yeah.
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 If I tell Morgan a secret, he ain't telling no one.
That's true. That's probably true.
There you go. It served you well.
Yeah.
But how, like, what, Were you named after someone?
I was named after my dad's dad.
Oh.
His name was Morgan Evans, or Richard Morgan Evans.
Oh, see, it's like an old school name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It probably contributed to, like, that whole time machine thing I'm talking about.
Probably, yeah. I was, like, looking at pictures of my grandparents, and they look so fucking cool. It's ridiculous. Like, just the, you know, because now these horn-rimmed glasses are all the rage again, and
yeah.
Sweaters, and, like, you know, pants with creases in them, and just, like, looking at, you know, these, like, Mad Men-style photos of, like, my great-grandparents, I was just, like, very much like, oh, you guys were great. Really racist, but great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a time when racism was almost, you know.
Yeah.
But it was
yeah.
just, like, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
There's, like, a cutoff point where you just can't fix those people.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you ever noticed that, like, if you look at yearbook pictures from, like, the 60s,
mm-hmm.
they looked older.
They did.
They, like, when they were 17, they looked 35.
Yeah. Well, I liked what Dave was saying on the podcast, just sort of about how, like, everyone's, like, a boy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I don't know if that's, like, a physical thing or not.
I want you to comment on that, because
yeah.
you, like, here, okay, Morgan, you're
yes.
about to, like, speak for an entire generation.
Sure.
Because that really resonated with me, like,
yeah.
what he said. And if you want, like, let's summarize it in case people didn't listen to that
right.
episode, but basically, Dave Hill, who was on a previous podcast, was saying that there's something going on right now
mm-hmm.
where, like, people who are of a man's age, like in their 20s and in their 30s, they're not somehow becoming men.
Right.
Like, they're sort of staying perpetual boys.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it was affecting art, music in particular.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the Apatow complex. You know what I mean? The man-child thing. Is what I took from it. But, like, I love Dave. I think Dave's great. He's older than me, so he's probably smarter than me. But I don't place any value on masculinity at all. Particularly
really?
Old stuff. Like, I love Hemingway or whatever. He's probably, like, the pinnacle of, like, a man. You know what
uh-huh.
I mean? Like, when you think about it. But also, like, what a miserable guy who blew his head off. Like, I don't think he was a great writer because he was a man.
Interesting.
That doesn't inform that. That's something else, you know? I mean, he fought in a war. He was, like, brave, you know? He still would have made probably shitty... He wrote poems, though, you know? Like, I don't know what the... I don't understand the value in that or the problem with being a... I mean, I guess if you don't want to grow up and don't want responsibility, that's different, but to... take responsibility for something, to me, doesn't equate with being a man.
I think, I mean, I know what you're saying. And I mean, there's something very, like, I kind of like that. I mean, it's sort of like, because I'm a bit older than you. And
sure.
I, don't say sure.
No, I'm just, sorry. I mean, go up.
What?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I just say sure to everything. I'm sorry. It's like a tick. I know.
That's fine.
It means I'm listening.
I'm willing
yeah.
to accept it. But anyway... I kind of understand what he's saying in that I like the fact that you kids, let's put it that way, I
yeah.
like the fact that you kids are very equal and are, like, looking at things in a very, like, I'm not a man and you're not a woman. I mean, like, we're all doing our thing kind
right.
of thing, and we don't need to, like, fall into stereotypical roles or... What?
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate to sound like one of those guys who's like, I don't really believe in labels, you know, but, like, because, like, you just be you, bro, like, it's cool, but, like, gender's fluid, it's a continuum or whatever, it's not, and, like, I don't even know what it means to be a man, you know, like, when I look at my dad, he's very much, to me, a man, you know?
I think that what he was talking about, and I can't speak for Dave,
uh-huh.
but was a concern that somehow swagger got lost along the way, like...
Sure.
You know, it, like, everything has become just a little too gentle and precious. And
mm-hmm.
in this particular application, when we're talking about music,
right?
You know, and I do agree with him. Like, swagger is a big part of, like, what makes really good music kind of, like, work. You know, it's like there is, like, this undercurrent of a sexuality going on.
Sure. I mean, but, like, I really like bands that where, like, lead singers front very, like, femininely, right? Like, there's a great band called Parenthetical Girls,
mm-hmm.
And the lead singer, Zach Pennington, like, will, like, deep throat the mic, you know, when he sings, it's not, that's a swagger, you know, that's a swagger that leans the other way.
That's
or
fine.
Like Jarvis Cocker is a good
I
example
love Jarvis
of somebody who I think has a lot of swagger
yeah.
and a lot of like sexual energy.
Yes.
So I get what he was saying about people standing up there and like looking down.
Yeah.
But there's a great band called The Locust, that's sort of like a noise grind, you know, this
uh-huh.
like noisy band with like 30-second songs, like minute long songs. And they just rock out, and it's just the noisiest cacophony of things you've ever heard, and they don't move when they play.
Huh.
Like, they wear these suits, you can't see their face, and it's like, you know, as they just, like, stand there still.
Uh-huh.
And that's a swagger to me.
Okay.
It's a different type of swagger, you know, they're not gyrating their hips in anything, but there's something really great about that, that, like, the control to stand and not move and do it is a swagger on the other end of the spectrum.
All right. Is there a sexiness to it? Is that what you mean? Like, is there a perceptible kind of like...
To me, yeah. To me, to be barraged with noise is... There's something sexual about it.
Okay.
In much the same way, there's probably something sexual about it, like a gangbang. it's like, you know, if the Rolling Stones, or like a better example is like if Leonard Cohen is like making love to a woman, then like a noise band is like blowing 90s. you know, there's something in it for everybody.
Let's talk a little bit about French pop music.
Sure.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know nearly as much as you do. I'm sure of that. I know Serge Gainsbourg
mm-hmm.
just simply because he's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like I know Francois Hardy and, you know, like a couple other ones. I was like noting them, like Sylvie Vartan.
She's great.
She's
awesome.
She opened
for the Beatles and they played there.
Oh,
know?
Man.
Like, yeah.
That would have been awesome.
I know. Yeah, of course. Although she's like totally not on that level. like I love her, but it's also just sort of like, when you think of people to open for the Beatles, my brain doesn't go to Sylvie Vartan, you know?
You know, it was a different time. Like,
yeah.
Like, have you read Marianne Faithfull's book?
No.
That's an awesome book.
Yeah.
And she talks about, because, you know, she was like a chanteuse, you could say.
Right.
She sang As Tears Go By. That
yeah.
was like her
uh-huh.
big thing.
Right.
And they basically what they would do is they would sort of cobble together like a bunch of like similar acts and just send them out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm not surprised.
Like one of those weird like college tours of like five different comedians like,
exactly.
are nothing like each other.
Exactly.
Just, except
right.
they hold mics. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they've all had a hit this summer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's put them in a van.
Right. yeah. and I mean, that was, like, the big thing in France, too, is that it was all, like, singles.
Right.
So, like, I collect French girl pop 7-inch singles.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a lot of them are written by Serge Gainsbourg, and a lot of them are sung by 16-year-old girls, and they're very sexual. You
huh.
know, really, really sexual stuff. Like, just about, like, sucking on lollipops and, like, the sweetness, like, running down my throat. You know, like, that's, like, those are, like, lyrics that Serge Gainsbourg would write for, like, a 16-year-old girl. So to me, that's, like, A, disgusting, and great, catchy, fun pop songs sung by women with very high, fantastic voices.
You were also mentioning to me that you're a huge Beatles fan.
Love the Beatles. They're my favorite band.
That's, like, you almost can't say that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I say it all the time, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's so number one, like, I don't even know. You know,
you know it's funny, because, like, when I started thinking about doing this podcast, I was like, do I ever even want to talk about the Beatles? Because I feel like they're, like, they should be everyone's, like, just, it should just be your fundamental, like, go-to.
Yeah, but I know people who don't like the Beatles.
That's why
or
I decided.
Like, or like the Rolling Stones more than the Beatles, which to me is, like, blasphemy.
So here's the thing. I'm a huge Rolling Stones fan.
Totally.
Massive.
They're great.
Huge,
yeah.
Huge, huge.
They're fantastic.
But wait, but didn't you say you hate Keith Richards earlier?
Oh, I was saying, like, the gimmick of him. Like, I'm gonna fuck you. Like, that type of guy. Like, there's nothing about that that's appealing to me.
That's not him! Is that what you kids think is Keith Richards?
I think so.
Oh, that's amazing.
I mean, yeah.
No, it's just swagger. It's not even,
right.
like... But anyway, let's not even go there.
Sure.
Here's the thing, all right? I'm a huge Beatles fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone told me, like, list your favorite bands, it's almost like a given. I wouldn't even list them because I just feel like any music fan, like, any person who's really into music
mm-hmm.
should know the Beatles inside out. And probably, like, I'm going to guess, like, how did you get into them?
My dad.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, any good parent.
Right.
Any good parent.
Shows their kids the Beatles.
Is going to, like, yeah. That's how I got into them. My
right.
dad had all their records.
Right.
And that was just kind of like the soundtrack of growing up,
mm-hmm.
right? And, like, that's, like, a great foundation.
Yeah.
But I do know what you're saying. First of all, I know that there's a lot of people that almost feel like it's, like, cool to slam them.
Yeah.
Which, like, I'm like,
I went into a bar in Brooklyn the other day, and there was a jukebox, and there was a note on it. There's the Beatles in it, in the jukebox, and says, like, if you play the Beatles, like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, God. Why? Like, of all the things to get pissed off about.
Right. Well, I love that it was just in the jukebox at all, like, you know, how to find them. Like,
I mean, it's like, you know, we've all heard Hey Jude one time too many. But,
of course. Like, yeah.
You know.
The songs people play out of the Beatles is, like, I think, responsible for the reasons people sometimes don't like them.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, we've all heard Hey Jude a million times. You know, we've all heard, you know.
At the supermarket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And no one likes anything they hear at the supermarket too many times, you know?
Unless, have you noticed that, like, do you shop at Whole Foods ever?
Not really. Occasionally. I'll go in to grab, like, a nice coffee or something. Yeah.
Whole Foods is the kind of place where you're going to be, like, looking at different kinds of granola, and suddenly you'll be like, they're playing Pulp.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I was somewhere weird the other day, and they were playing, like, The Modern Lovers. You know, like, I was, like, at a Best Buy, and it was like, you know, Roadrunner, Roadrunner. And it's like, okay, all right.
It's almost like you want them to stop.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Don't ruin it for me.
Oh, that ruins it for you? Like,
yeah.
When things get popular, or, like, does it ruin it for you?
Yeah, I've got a problem with that.
Yeah, because, like, I've never, like, been that way. I think if I hear something a lot of times, it can ruin it for me.
Yeah.
But, like, I never got upset, because, like, I was huge, I was so into Modest Mouse, in junior high and high school, you know, just, like, so into them, and then Float On came out, and then, like, everybody loved Modest Mouse, and, like, I just remember having friends being, like, they sold out, they fucking suck, whatever, and I'm, like, it's a fine song, like, and now everyone likes Modest Mouse, like, whatever, you know, it makes the concerts harder to go to.
Oh, man. Oh, we won't talk about Modest Mouse.
Sure. You don't like them?
I just tweeted about them the other day, and I basically said, and like,
sure.
Let's not, we won't get it, because
I mean, I'm not really,
you're wonderful.
Defend. I mean, it's my junior high formative
then, it's
stuff,
okay then.
You know?
Yeah. It's kind of like your generations, it might be Giants.
Yes, I think that's very accurate.
Yeah, it's
although
your,
I love,
they might
be
Giants.
State, but I didn't get into them until later.
Right, but
yeah.
You know, that's a fair comparison,
I think, absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So the other day I tweeted something like, I completely understand someone breaking up with someone because they like Modest Mouse on their Facebook page.
It's very funny. Yeah, I love Isaac Brock. I think he's, like, really talented.
I'm not going to get into
sure.
it with you. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have this problem. I do have a problem where if something gets too popular,
mm-hmm.
I almost want to, like, separate myself from it. Unless it's, like, something huge, like the Beatles
right.
or the Stones. Like, you can't.
Right.
You know, they're never going to just be mine.
Are you that way about, like, books and movies and stuff, or does it's exclusively music?
I would say that, you know, music is, like, the thing that resonates that the most for me.
Right.
Books, not so much, because I always want to share books with my friends.
Right.
Like, I want to talk about it. I think maybe because music is more of a personal thing to me,
mm-hmm.
where I feel like I have this intimate... It cheapens it
yeah.
if everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's great. I
right.
just, you know.
It's like, now my favorite band's a whore. Everyone's had it in and out of their ears. Yeah.
Everyone's had them.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, I don't want to hear Jarvis Cocker over the loudspeakers at Whole Foods.
Uh-huh. Well, they'll never play the best song.
No.
That's like, the thing I've kind of realized is, like, the song that's the hit isn't the greatest
yeah.
song of theirs. Generally.
Right.
I don't know why that is.
No, you're right. It's probably like, I probably have heard Common People.
Yeah, it's like Common People, right? But like Disco 2000 is maybe like one of the best. You know, and there's
yeah.
a lot, like a lot of great ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's your favorite Pulp album? I'm just wondering.
Probably This Is Hardcore.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
That's their dark
yeah.
venture.
Yeah.
Every track on that album just absolutely resonated with me.
Right.
When you turn 33, it'll resonate with you.
Sure. I mean, I identify with a lot of them, you know. I feel like I shouldn't, like, you know, but that's the thing is, like, Common People to me, like, really speaks to my generation of friends and stuff too, because it's like people who are rich enough to be poor.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
Yeah.
Just the idea of, like, you know.
The trust fund slummers.
Yeah, just people who complain about not having money, but who have a huge safety net they're not acknowledging, like, under them. You
yeah.
know, like, you will literally never be homeless. Like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Like, that just won't happen to you.
Exactly.
So that's weird. Like, so what's the worst case scenario? You fail in New York, you move back to your McMansion in Scottsdale, like, you know, suck it up. Like,
true.
Yeah.
It's almost better not to have that safety net. It's like, go out there and fucking take risks with your life and make it authentically yours.
Sure.
Right? I mean...
Yeah, or at least, like, if you have the safety net, it's much better to acknowledge it and be aware of it and be aware of how lucky you are to have that. Because a lot of people don't, you know?
Exactly.
And that's I think, what's annoying.
But so, anyway, going back to the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
Just back. All right, so your dad introduced you to them.
Right.
What is your relationship to them?
I can listen to the Beatles at any time, and I'm never not in the mood for the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
In any context, no matter how I'm feeling about anything, and I feel like that's the thing most other bands don't offer to me. Like, I have every Beatles song on my iPod, and sometimes I'll just, you know, just listen to their discography, like, whenever. Like, if I don't know what to listen to, I listen to the Beatles.
Nice.
And I guess that's, like, my relationship to them, is it's, like, a constant. It's like The Simpsons, you know? It's, like, I'm never not in the mood to watch The Simpsons. Like, if someone puts The Simpsons on at their house, like, great, we're having a good time. Like, it's fine. We're all in agreement here. This is fine, you know? This is, like, a really, yeah.
Right.
So that, I guess that's it. I love them.
I mean, it's so hard to say, like, it's weird to say, actually. What's your favorite period? It began and ended within a decade.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah. I mean, Abbey Road's my favorite album.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I love Abbey Road. I mean, Paul's my favorite Beatle.
I know, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Explain why.
Solo stuff.
Ah.
You know, I think, like, when you break them down, like, because, I mean, when I think of the Beatles, like, I think of them as a whole, so I don't, it doesn't matter who, like, wrote what, because they're all in it together. Even if you hear these stories that, like, Paul went in and re-recorded Ringo's drums, it's like, whatever, like, I don't care. And I love George Harrison a lot. Like, George and Paul are really close, but Paul for me is, like, so I love Wings a whole lot, too.
Wings were great.
I like pop music. I like really catchy pop stuff, and Paul's just seems to be, like, the best at that. Like, George Harrison is really catchy, great songs, but they're a little headier.
Yeah. It's like, it wasn't until they went solo that I think you could see really what was happening in their heads,
yeah.
I guess you could say.
Sure.
Because, I mean, just thinking about the Lennon-McCartney collaboration, it's like, because they shared, you know, all the songwriting credits, you didn't know. I mean, you might have guessed, depending on who sang what.
Right.
But you really didn't know, like, how much of, like, a poppiness came from who. Paul McCartney was definitely the pop king.
Totally. I mean, like, Honey Pie is one of my favorite Beatles songs. Just because I love music from that era that it's, like, emulating, you know, like I was saying before. So it's, like, a really great version of that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I love Honey Pie. You know, people shit on me for it. You know, they're like, oh, that's, like, a weird Beatles song to like.
It is such a weird. You know, you know what Beatles song I really like? And it's a George Harrison song.
Uh-huh.
And nobody ever talks about it but Savoy Truffle.
Sure, yeah. I've never heard anybody be like, I love Savoy Truffle. It's good, though. Yeah.
It's like, it's so got like that 60s,
right.
Like, kind of like, you know, girl in Oxford Circus thing happening.
Right.
I like it.
Yeah, the ones, like, I don't like, and to say I don't like them, like, obviously there's, like, an asterisk there that's, like, by the way, he likes it. Or, like, compared to everything else, it's great. But, like, back in the USSR, not a big fan of it.
Interesting.
I don't like the drivier, rockier stuff, you know?
Huh.
I love, like, I Wanna Hold Your Hand. Yeah.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised that you said Abbey Road in a way, because I almost thought you were going to say, like, early stuff, like maybe A
Love
Hard Day's Night or
lot.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things, like, I just listen to that all the time, like in a loop.
How do you feel about John Lennon?
I was thinking about this on the way over here because I knew John Lennon would come up. And, like, John's weird. I love, like, Oh Yoko. That's
uh-huh.
a great song.
Oh, yeah.
His collaborations with Phil Spector, phenomenal.
Yeah.
I don't like him a whole lot.
You're the first person who's ever said that to me, and I'm not going to judge. I just want to hear why, because I'm curious.
to me, it's just not that smart. Like, you know, because I, what's very important to me is, like, lyrics and stuff, too. I mean, I just said I Want to Hold Your Hands, one of my favorite songs. There's just, like, you know, like, devoid of any, like, meaning or anything. But,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. Just, like, imagine. It all just seems like bullshit. Like, it's all, like, he's a, like, what the fuck is he talking about, you know? Like, I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I mean, if you heard all the, you know, not, I mean, it doesn't, his personal stuff doesn't matter, so I'm not even going to bring that up, but. Yeah, just the idea that, like, you know, imagine a world without, you know, possessions, blah, 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 as he's, like, living in the Dakota. I just feel like he has no idea what he's talking about. He's pulling a lot of shit out of his ass. I mean, this is, like, probably going to make people hate me.
No, no. People should... Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah.
This is interesting to me because I'm looking at it from your perspective. Now, like, do you think that he was being insincere? Or
yeah,
do you
I think he's utterly insincere.
Really? He strikes you as insincere.
Yeah, I mean, just, like, it's nothing more than, like, just a subjective opinion on John Lennon's, like, solo stuff, you know? I mean, I don't mind his Beatles things, but, yeah, not so into it. Because, like, I love George's solo stuff a lot. I really love Paul. Ringo's not even worth mentioning.
No, poor Ringo.
I know, it's sad, but it's just like...
It feels like it's coming from like just a very like a gut emotional...
Yeah, it's just a gut thing. Like, I would just never put a John Lennon album on. And that's like how I know the difference. I don't exactly know why I wouldn't, but like... I mean, there's obviously great songs, but when you think of things as like whole albums or whatever, like... You know, I'd rather listen to O Yoko three times than, like, Imagine once.
So have you, like, listened to, like, the Shaved Fish record?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good record.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to try to change your mind.
Well, I mean, I obviously should listen to, you know, just, I should know, like, what he has to offer, like, completely.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Yoko Ono, like, put out a book of his. Like, I have it, and I read it, but I can't remember the context. I don't remember... if they were interviews he gave or essays that he wrote, because it's been a while since I read it.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote, like, a preface for it. And she basically said, read these things and kind of remember the context,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the time in which they were said. Because, like, to our minds now, a lot of the things that he said might have even come across as even slightly racist or
sure.
Sexist mm-hmm. or... you know, or whatever. And I kind of am sensing that, like, your take on him maybe coming from, like, a perspective of now, kind of, like, looking back.
I mean, maybe. Like, to me, it's, like, it's less to do with, like, how he was or, like, what he was about or, like, his cabin interviews. Just, like, because, like, I love Sam Cooke and he murdered a girl. Like, I think Sam Cooke's, like, fantastic, but he clearly murdered somebody, you know? Phil Spector, too. It's, like, really great. Like, I mean, really great stuff.
His Wall of Sound.
Yeah, Wall of Sound's amazing. His album with John Lennon is John Lennon's best album, you know? So, yeah, great. Like, John Lennon, fine. I think it's just the type of thing where it's like, I've listened to every George Harrison album a million times. I listened to every Paul McCartney album a bunch of times. I listened to John Lennon probably, like, four or five times, and it was just like, that doesn't do it.
Interesting.
Just doesn't do it for me.
I'm wondering if that's going to change for you as, like, you know, you get older, or if
mm-hmm.
this is just going to be your thing. And I'm not saying that.
Sure.
The reason I say that is because growing up, for me, I was a huge Paul McCartney fan.
Right.
Like, loved him.
Yeah.
Thought he was adorable.
Uh-huh.
Wished I could, like, go back in a time machine
right,
and,
right.
like, be his girlfriend.
You know, he's
you
still
know?
Alive, right?
Well,
yeah, now I know what you mean.
Now,
yeah.
now he looks like a beautiful old lady.
Right. I want to go back in time and have sex with Brian Epstein.
Okay.
Keep it in.
I loved him. And then, like, somehow, I don't know if it was because, like, as a teenager, I kind of got into, like, punk rock
uh-huh.
and, like, you know, maybe a little angrier stuff or
sure.
whatever. But, like, somehow, like, there was a shift
mm-hmm.
at some point where, like, I still love, you know, I'll always love Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something about, like, John Lennon's approach to life
mm-hmm.
that suddenly struck me as, like, it resonated with me more.
Well, his music's a little more, like, driven and angry, I guess, at some points. Like, is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah,
yeah,
it's like you can feel his wounds.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like, I think about, like, Paul McCartney's stuff. I think it's more positive, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, you know, the whole Band on the Run album is like one of my favorites.
Right.
And
I love Ram. Like Ram is one of the best.
Ram
albums.
Is like, you know, it's a total classic.
Sure.
You can't, you know, it stands up to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about like John Lennon as a person, I think. I used to live in England.
Oh, cool.
I've lived there twice, actually.
Uh-huh.
And the last time I lived there, I was like, all right, every Beatles fan has to do the, like, Liverpool pilgrimage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? So I, you know, I took a night bus up to Liverpool, and I spent a couple days there. And I mean, like, poor Liverpool. I feel so bad for, like, anyone.
All right. Nothing else came from it, right, yeah.
That's their industry.
Yeah.
It used to be shipping. Now
right.
it's the Beatles. And
right.
it's, like, it's such a quaint, like, adorable, like, little city. It's near Manchester.
Uh-huh.
But it's like a little town compared to like Manchester, which is a major
right.
English city. And you get there, there's like busloads of Japanese tourists. Oh, this is the Polytechnic where John Lennon went to art school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're taking pictures everywhere.
Right.
And it's, oh, this is Strawberry Field.
Right.
You know, this is the park where John Lennon and Paul McCartney first met.
Right.
You know, it's just like overrun with tourists.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can kind of like mentally block the fact you're definitely standing in like a place that's been trodden millions of times by like tourists, you kind of can see. I did take this thing called the Magical Mystery Tour,
uh-huh.
which is a bus tour. And they took us to like, do you know the story of John Lennon's mom, Julia? He sings about it in on the White Album.
Uh-huh.
There's this amazing song called Julia.
Sure.
Basically, she abandoned him when he was a little boy,
mm-hmm.
and she went to work in this hotel, and it wasn't until he was like a teenager that he reestablished a relationship with her. Like he lived with his aunt, like her sister.
Yeah.
He went and he tried to reestablish a relationship with her, and they were having this great relationship suddenly, and he was like, you know, he was like a troubled kid. And like one day she was like leaving work and she got hit by a bus and she
mm-hmm.
got killed.
That's what Julie's about?
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous song.
It's a gorgeous
yeah.
song. It's like that stuff, like, it's that wounded
totally.
Boy
yeah.
stuff that, like, I'm like, oh, John Lennon.
I mean, listen, like, the Beatles are my favorite band. Like, if I'm going to talk shit about John Lennon, it's in the context of, like, argument.
So you do kind of love him?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's clearly one of the best musicians to ever live, right? Like, that's not up for debate. Like,
okay.
I think it's just kind of one of the things where it's like, if I'm talking about favorite Beatles, it's like, fuck John.
It's the first person I've ever met who said that.
Yeah, I mean, also too, just like, I just don't think he's deep, and that bugs me. Yeah.
I think he's deep.
Yeah, I think it's not so, I don't know, it's something about, like, I don't find Jim Morrison to be deep or anything either.
I don't either.
Because that's all like, let's just talk about perception, man.
Yeah.
And I feel like John's kind of got some of the same tendencies. Just
okay.
like, here's the thing I'm going to set up and then not really, like, fully, like, talk about. Like, I think George Harrison has a lot of great points on, like, God and stuff. or, like, ideas about God and eternity and life in general. And John Lennon seems to have this kind of surface-level opinion about culture.
Interesting. Oh, my gosh.
Whereas Paul's just like, let's have a good time, you know? I'm not very moon to light, you know? Let's all do coke in the attic. Yeah.
So Paul is the fun one. George is the spiritual one.
He's like the serious one, right? That's what I always
yeah,
said. Yeah.
That's what I've always heard.
And then John
also.
Was like the funny one, right? Wasn't that kind of it?
He was like the cynical wit.
Yeah. He was like very witty. I mean, have you heard that Albert Brooks story about John Lennon?
Tell me.
Oh, it's great. Like, I think it's just like John Lennon, they all wanted to kind of be comedians. Like, I think their movies are really funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Hard Day's Night is like some great jokes in there.
Oh, my God.
And they're all so attractive. yeah, so, like, I guess John just kind of wanted to be a comic, so he really revered people like Carlin and Pryor and stuff, and, like, wanted to hang out with them a lot, and, he called Albert Brooks, like, after his album, I think, like, A Star Is, Born, or A Star Is Made, is that what it's called? It's a great Albert Brooks album.
I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
Do you recommend it?
Yeah, it's so funny.
I love Albert Brooks.
Yeah, his stand-up's, like, really great, especially, like, his Tonight Show stuff.
It's funny. I've only seen a little of that. I tend to think of him more as, like,
a filmmaker. Yeah, I mean, people forget that about Woody Allen, too. He just was one of the best stand-ups to ever live. So anyway, like, he called Albert Brooks and, like, was like, I'm going to pick you up or something in my limo. And, like, the day his album came out, and Albert Brooks got in, and the whole thing was just filled with his records. Like, John Lennon had bought just, like, hundreds of copies of his album.
Oh, my God.
And they just drove around New York City throwing them at people.
Oh, my God. Oh, what an amazing.
Yeah.
Well, see, there's an interesting thing. I never think about the fact that musicians probably wish they could be comedians. I always think of it in reverse.
I think it's like, yeah, I think it's kind of this trade-off. Like, you can, I don't know. yeah, because that's like kind of what I want to talk about too, I guess. It's just like the fact that the Beatles all wanted, you know, really loved comedy.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. A Hard Day's Night is hilarious.
Yeah.
To this day, I mean, I don't think we realized how much it was like a total game changer.
Right.
I mean, like total.
Well, it's Spice World.
It's, I mean, it's so much, I mean, that's a great,
right.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
That's true. And yeah. I actually do like Spice World.
Me too. I think Spice World is also hilarious.
I mean, just that opening sequence where they're getting like chased down the street by the screaming girls, mm-hmm. and they have that little slapstick thing in the underground.
It's iconic,
and,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like changed everything.
Right.
Our world would not be what it is right now if it had not been for that movie.
It's a very important movie. Yeah.
It could be argued that it's like one of the top 10 most important movies.
I would maybe disagree with that.
I was just trying to push a button.
Sure, yeah. It'd be somewhere near there.
It's the Citizen Kane of rock and roll movies.
Oh, I mean, yes, that is totally true. Yeah, yeah. There's probably not been a better movie about music. I don't know.
What's your, like, what would you say is your favorite rock and roll movie?
Hard Day's Night, yeah.
Okay, like, let's say that it didn't exist.
Yeah.
Because you're a filmmaker, so I'm assuming that you just sit home and...
Yeah, can we broaden it to, like, movies about musicians?
Are you going to say, like, The Rose?
I was going to say, like, Strozek or something. I don't know. Like, rock and roll movies. Like, I don't even, like, off the top of my head, I'm just thinking, like, High Fidelity. Is that, you know, that's just, like,
great...
a movie about rock.
I love that movie.
I love it, too. I think it's great.
I've seen it probably a dozen times.
Sure.
I would say my favorite, my sentimental favorite is probably Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Oh, okay, yeah, so, like, things like that. yeah.
What did you think I was going for here?
I don't know, because I was trying to think of things like Hard Day's Night, and I was like, what other movies, like, do bands star in, you know? Stop Making Sense.
Oh, that's a great one.
It's a really great one. That's the guy who did Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's great, but it's also just a concert, but, yeah.
Have you seen True Stories?
No.
That should be on your queue.
Cool, what is that?
It's a Talking Heads movie.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, and it's based on their album True Stories.
Okay.
And it's, I mean, it takes place in like it's very kitschy. It's
sure.
Like David Byrne is like introducing you to the small Texas town and all the weird eccentric characters in it.
Oh, I love it.
John Goodman's in it.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Got the lead.
All right, well then I'll definitely see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you have to see it. And
right.
I mean, like that, I don't know if you've heard that album, but it's such a great album.
And by the way, Blues Brothers.
Oh, God.
Aretha Franklin's in it. You know?
Oh, that's right.
It's fantastic. Like, it's so good.
Oh,
I would say that. I would say like Hard Day's Night, Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers is like definitely in like my top five.
Right.
For sure. I mean, that movie just makes you...
So good.
Just gives you goose pimples.
I know. Love it. It's like the perfect combination of like hilarious and just like great blues and Motown. And
you know, it's funny. I love Aretha Franklin. I probably don't know nearly as much as you do about her. Did you ever see the clip of like, this was a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
It was the Grammys.
Okay.
Luciano Pavarotti. So this is back when
sure?
he was still alive.
Right.
He was supposed to perform
okay.
and like he had taken ill
uh-huh.
and he couldn't make it.
Right.
She stepped in.
Cool.
And sang his aria for him.
Whoa, how did she do?
It made me cry.
I know,
it was
I imagine
like,
she was like really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
that one, God, I do not know my opera, but it's that one where they sing victory, victory.
Okay.
They were like, ladies and gentlemen, Luciano Pavarotti was scheduled to be here tonight, but he couldn't be here. But Aretha Franklin
uh-huh.
will be singing this from, you know.
And you know, one guy was like, God damn it, son of a bitch. Like, you're from Pavarotti. Got one of the other greats.
But what's amazing about that was that she was just like, she's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Just was like, yeah, I know opera.
Sure.
I'll just step in. I can fucking kill this.
Yeah.
Don't even change the key. I'll
right.
just set me out there.
Yeah.
I'll be doing it. She did a little like ad-libbing with the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Yeah, of course. I imagine. yeah, she's really great. I saw her at Radio City Music Hall. a couple years ago, and it was probably one of the best things that's ever happened to me. I love that your dog sleeps with its tongue out.
He doesn't have any teeth left.
Oh, well, okay.
He's 16.
Uh-huh.
And he's the dearest little guy in the world.
Yeah, it's an adorable dog.
Thank you. Yeah. My family's had him since he was 5 weeks old.
Oh, wow.
So he's like the family
treasure.
I think we're going to start wrapping things up a little bit.
Okay.
But I feel like we've hit on some really interesting things here.
Yeah, I feel like I'm really regretting just shitting on John Lennon.
I know, that's gonna bite you in the ass.
It absolutely is. I think I really regret it. I'd love to redact everything I said right now.
No, that was interesting.
I just feel like Imagine is a really dumb song.
It's a great song.
I mean, yeah, it's just with the worst message.
It had a great, see, you have to look at it, that's what I mean, like, you have to look at it in the context of the time.
Sure.
You know, it's like, if someone said that right now,
uh-huh.
I would want to bitch slap him.
Yeah, but people were saying that in, like, great books, you know, like, from that time, you know?
I think he was, like, I don't think that this was, like, something that he, like, believed, like, 24/7, but
sure.
I think he wrote it feeling sincere. Like, I think he, and... By the way,
uh-huh.
if you ever fly into the Liverpool International Airport,
uh-huh.
they have a slogan,
uh-huh.
above us only skies.
Oh, that's great.
I know, which I think is pretty awesome.
Yeah, totally. You probably would have hated that now it's being used in ads.
yeah, you probably would hate that. But anyway, as you probably know,
uh-huh.
I ask people the same three questions to sort of like close the podcast.
Sure.
And so I'm going to ask them to you.
Okay.
Kinks or who?
Kinks.
God, you just jumped on the Kinks.
Definitely the Kinks.
Do you want to explain why?
I don't really listen to the Who. I mean, I guess that's why. I have nothing against the Who, but yeah, I just always like, I just really dove headfirst into Kinks like in a really hard way in high school. And just
nice.
Really, really always loved the Kinks.
What is it about them that you like?
Waterloo Sunset, you know,
oh.
just like that range, like that's
yeah.
such a great song. And like this is sort of great mix of really catchy, loving, awesome stuff with like great kind of harder, you know, tracks, like seamlessly on the same album.
Agreed. Absolutely no interest in the Who whatsoever.
I could maybe get into the Who, but it's kind of just one of those things where it's like, I couldn't name a Who album.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's fine.
My whole thing has like never been about classic rock, really. It's always been indie pop, which is what I grew up on.
Right.
And then very quickly noise shit,
uh-huh.
and then Motown French pop.
Nice.
That's just sort of the trajectory. I hopped around and then missed the whole classic rock shit. Because everybody was bullying me was, like, really into Led Zeppelin. So I was like, fuck it, you know? Like, I'm not going to get into Who or Led Zeppelin. It's like, these kids are assholes, you know?
See, no wonder you don't like shit with swagger.
Yeah.
No wonder.
That's probably it.
You associate it with some guy pummeling you to the ground.
That's swagger.
That's not swagger.
Okay.
But, okay, here's what I want to say. I agree with you.
Mm.
I say this every time. I have an appreciation for The Who, but I totally agree with you about the Kinks. They're so, like, such an underrated but very important band.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I just saw this thing. You might know this because you work at Best Week Ever, and so you have to troll all this shit.
Yeah.
Roger Daltrey was just on this, like, pawning, like, some weird cable.
Oh, like Pawn Stars or Storage Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
What was he doing? Was he, like, selling a guitar?
He showed up and, like, sang a song.
I do hear that The Who are still putting on great shows, though.
I mean, I'm sure that that's the case.
Yeah.
They've always been known to do that.
Yeah.
I probably would like to see them live before
mm-hmm.
they go.
Yeah. Like, I saw Bob Dylan live, and he didn't even pick up a guitar. And the songs don't sound like Bob Dylan songs anymore,
you know?
Because he stopped caring, it sounds like. Because it's like, hey there, Mr. Long pause, you know. Damn, wait a minute. And you're just like, that's not what we're here for. You know, what a weird...
Was the audience just eating it up with a spoon, though?
No, because, like, Merle Haggard opened and he killed it, you know?
Oh,
just really
man.
Was great. And then, like, you know, me and my dad were there for Bob Dylan. And then, like, we both walked away from it just being sort of like, it's very cool to have seen Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Love some Bob Dylan.
It's like a bucket list thing.
Yeah, but, like, Jesus Christ, if that guy didn't look like he gave a shit, you know?
You know, and he seems like a very, very strange and complex and, I don't know, like, yeah.
God but also talk him. About someone who's full of shit, you know what I mean?
Like, truth. I mean, he kind of started that whole I'm full of shit thing.
Yeah, he wanted to be Woody Guthrie, so he just pretended he was, you know.
Like, so true.
Running around on trains and stuff, but I don't care.
Do you ever watch History Detectives on PBS?
No. People who watch Best of Gamer aren't super interested in history.
They did, like, for their, like, 100th episode or something, they did, like, a whole rock and roll episode.
Cool.
Because they were trying to appeal to people that were, like, ages 50 to 60
right,
as opposed to, like, 70 to 90.
Yeah.
And, okay, so, you know the concert where he went electric? The guitar that he actually stepped on stage with and, like, strummed, like, this is my electric guitar.
Cool.
And he was booed off stage.
Uh-huh.
Lost in time.
Right.
And this woman whose father used to drive his, like, or not drive, what do you do with a plane? You fly a plane.
Yeah, you fly it.
She flew his
you
private.
Sail it.
You sail it. His private sailor.
Right.
He, like, on the last leg of the tour, when he dropped everyone off, he saw a guitar case in the back and he just took it home. And it had been sitting in their house for years, like 40 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was always like, this is the guitar that Bob Dylan used when he went electric.
Right.
And, like, no one believed him and da-da-da. The history detectives took it to this guy who was actually able to blow up pictures from the concert. And the way that they can tell whether something is authentic or not on a guitar is just, like, the grain on the guitar. Like,
right.
That's how a historian can
like
tell.
Like the wood.
The wood.
Yeah.
The wood grain on a guitar.
Uh-huh.
He determined that, yes, it was.
That's insane.
The actual. Can you even imagine having an heirloom like that?
Can you imagine being such an asshole that you just take it home? Like, bye, Bob. But, you know, I'm a pilot. Like, you know, you got home and it's like, all right, I'm taking that.
I mean, obviously, Bob Dylan didn't... I mean, maybe he was upset. Maybe he was like, I don't need this piece of shit. I just had the worst night of my life.
Sure.
Because according to, like, what happened was he got booed, and he actually put the electric guitar down and picked up an acoustic guitar.
Oh, okay.
And did the rest of his set, like, all right, you want to hear, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you want me to be a troubadour, I will be your troubadour, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe he was like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
Left the plane.
Just bailed on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now imagine what kind of lawsuits are about to ensue, because that's probably, like, one of the most important electric guitars in history.
Yeah, that's, yeah, definitely.
You know?
<Yeah.
laughs> Anyway, that was an
aside. That's great. That's a great story, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Favorite TV theme song? Go.
I mean, Fresh Prince, right?
That is epic.
Like, Fresh Prince. That became something other than the show, which these other theme songs didn't really...
Interesting.
Like, I don't think you could find a more popular TV theme song than The Fresh Prince.
I mean, you know, there's a lost verse. Like, you know that, like, sometimes there's a whole other verse.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. That talks a little bit more about, like,
it's all
why
psychology.
All right, so you're going to go with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I am. Yeah.
I'll accept that.
What's yours?
I would say the theme song to the Munsters.
I don't know it.
Oh my god, it's like a rockin' guitar.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'll send it to you so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's a great song.
Cool.
It's like from the early 60s, but like...
I mean, All in the Family, too, is one that I would maybe like...
That I mean, like, that one is great because it so sets up, like, what you're about to see.
The whole tone of the show, it's very touching. It's also really funny and annoying and grating, like, because of her voice.
It
but, like,
is.
Somehow it's this, like, loving moment, like, between a husband and wife, like, singing the song. Like, I, you know, I guess the theme would be, you know, the characters in the show singing whatever the theme song is.
You know what, though? It's really interesting that you're saying All in the Family because that is a theme song that tells you what you're about to see without telling you the backstory. It's
totally.
So intelligent that it's not like, and then this happened, and then it's not like the Brady Bunch.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's more like, it sets it up. And Archie Bunker was amazing because he was a person that you wanted to hate, but you loved him in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the best characters.
Three-dimensional.
On TV, yeah. He's like that grandparent all of us have, you know?
He is.
Love it. Love that show.
All right. Recommend something that you think that people should know about that they may not have heard?
I'd say the soundtrack in the movie Meet Me in St. Louis.
Woo! Great. Judy Garland.
Yeah, Judy Garland. I think it's where Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas comes from. Could be wrong. Could be wrong about
that. I think it is. I've seen Meet Me in St. Louis.
It's great.
It is so great.
I'd say like that. Like, that's not like the greatest movie of all time, but like that's probably my favorite musical.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's adorable. God, I bet if I, like, stopped by your house, there's always something interesting on.
Like, on TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watch a lot of... I was watching Palm Beach Story. That's another good movie that I'd, like, never seen. Rudy Valley's in it.
Oh, wow.
They let him sing two songs. you know, it didn't feel like it. It's not supposed to be a musical, but, like, he's in it playing this Hugh Grant type. And, yeah, it's very good. It's about divorce. It's very funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Back then, that was, like, controversial.
Yeah, because, like, it starts at the end of, like, a movie that doesn't exist, you know, where it, like,
right.
pulls back, and it's, like, and they lived happily ever after, and then it pulls back again, and it's, like, or did they? And then you see them, like, trying to get a divorce.
I want to see that.
It's very funny. It's a really good movie. It's great lines, like, Chivalry's not only dead, it's decomposed, you know, this stuff. It's a Preston Sturges movie.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to check that out. And I'm going to recommend an album by the Detroit Cobras. Are you familiar with them?
No.
Well, the reason I thought of them today, and the album is called Mink, Rat, or Rabbit.
Okay.
The one that I'm recommending. Although they do the same thing consistently and well. They're a band out of Detroit.
Okay.
And they exclusively do covers, but in a garage band style.
Oh, cool.
So they've done, like, a lot, like, the reason I thought of them was because they've done a lot of girl group covers, but, like, in garage band style.
Nice, yeah.
You know, like, Putty in Your Hands, which
uh-huh.
is a Sherelle
yeah.
song.
Sure.
You know, and it's just, like, and that's...
I'd love to hear Soldier Boy as, like, a...
Oh, my God, that would
yeah.
rock. Yeah. God, why hasn't anyone... Someone should get on that.
I don't know, yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
So Detroit Cobras.
Detroit Cobras.
Great.
Mink, Rat, or Rabbit.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Morgan, this has been really fun.
Yeah, this is really fun.
I love talking about music with people.
Yeah, I really love shitting on John Lennon.
I was going to say, this is going to be called the Lennon episode.
If there's one thing I regret this week, it's doing that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Well, there you have it. My interview with Morgan Evans. It was really fun, and I hope nobody gives him a hard time about his comments about John Lennon. I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I thought it was actually rather brave. Even though I'm a huge John Lennon fan, all right, Morgan, say what you feel. We're running really long, and so I just want to thank a few people, but before I do, I just want to clarify a few things, because some of the conversation was a little disjointed. Bob Dylan first went electric at the Newport Folk Festival in 1965, and that's where he was practically booed off the stage, in case you guys want to research that or his guitar. Also, the John Lennon book that I was talking about is called Lennon Remembers, and it was actually a series of interviews that were conducted between him and Jan Wenner, the founder and editor-in-chief of Rolling Stone magazine in 1970 and 71. And it's a good read. I'd highly recommend it. And I think it's still in print. Check it out. And finally, the Aretha Franklin aria that I mentioned that was performed at the Grammys was in 1998. And Aretha stepped in for Luciano Pavarotti, and she performed Nessun Dorma by Puccini. So that's online, but I'm going to post it on our Facebook page so you guys can revel in the amazing performance she gave. And join us on our Facebook page. Why don't you like us or follow us at LTB_podcast on Twitter? And finally, I want to thank Morgan Evans again. I want to thank my producer, Mina Sajwani, Thomas Appleton, who's just given us great technical advice, Ursula 1000, who did our theme music, Lauren Vassell, who did all of our graphic design stuff. Am I forgetting someone? Oh yeah, Steve Vassell, who gave us legal advice, because that's kind of important. And my dog, Jake, who I love more than anything in the world. That's it for now. We'll see you on the 26th. That's 2 weeks from today, when we talk to John Frusciante. Not the John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but comedian John Frusciante, who's the artistic associate at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater here in New York. Until then, bye!